Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson, Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott. It's your call for the best college football coverage from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Tom Fornelli. That's Danny Cannell. I'm Chip Patterson, coming to you live at youtube.com/Cover3 and all across the 24/7 Sports Facebook network. Smash that subscribe. Smash that like. Come and join us in the chat and sign up for the Cover 3 Bracket Challenge. That's right. It's bracket time. So get yours now at the CBS Sports app. You can play men's and women's pools with friends and join our challenges for the chance to win a new car and trips to the 2024 Final Four. Get the CBS Sports app or visit cbssports.com/play to start filling out your brackets. No purchase necessary. See terms and rules for details. And if you want to go directly to the Cover 3 Bracket Challenge, cbssports.com/cover3. Again, cbssports.com/cover3. You can compete against Tom, Danny, myself. And a little bit later on in the show, we will be filling out a bracket if it was just football. So if all the Field of 68 had to throw their football team out there, you know, like, I'm really sorry, Xavier, you're probably going to get crushed. Probably going to need to call in some help because I don't know how you line up in terms of height, weights, and speeds. But we're going to do that, have a little bit of fun here on this Monday. Danny, welcome back. How was spring break?
It was good. Good to be back, man. Back in the saddle. The time change is killing us because it's one thing like to get back on schedule after you've been on vacation, but then to take away the hour of sleep as well. It's like the double whammy. But I'm good, man. It's good to be back. Fired up.
What was the reaction like with the fam when Jay Billis, enemy of the podcast, decided that he was going to throw out a shot during the Clemson game? As you know, the iconic Ben Middlebrooks was having to come into the game. They had some foul trouble, really needed to rely on that front court depth that Brad Brownell has.
Yeah.
And he came out with a, you know, just a total shot across the bow. Like, what are we going to do to be able to get payback against him?
We need to figure out something because my guy Billis, he's been taking shots for a while. This one felt below the belt though. And like, my kids don't care. They could care less about dad, but my parents are watching. Like, they're watching their grandson. They're trying to just enjoy the game taking place. And he takes a shot at my academic prowess or lack thereof from his perspective, what he was calling out, saying, hey, don't go to his uncle for any academic advice. I was extremely offended by that one. And I did send an email to ESPN to see if I could get that rescinded or an apology on air. And I'm still waiting word to see if that does in fact happen.
The Cover 3 Podcast has issued a cease and desist to Jay Billis. He is no longer allowed to mention anybody on this show.
Slanderous commentary.
He can't even download this show. He has been removed from potential listeners. Enemy of the podcast state.
He's blocked.
Yeah, wasn't it Dan Shulman with him too? He didn't see it coming.
Shulman was like, where did that come from? He was like, what's happening right now?
Oh, man. And Clemson snubbed. Not great. Have we heard from Ben or any sources close?
They were bummed. I talked to my sister. I know they were kind of waiting on bated breath, like watching the selection show. Because I kept texting. I'm like, do they know early? Do they get any heads up ahead of time? No. I went to our CBS contacts because I read an article that said they get an hour ahead of time. So I said, hey, do you know if Clemson made it? And they were like, can't tell. I was like, oh, I see where I stand in the trust tree, like clearly on the outside of that one looking in. I wasn't going to leak it. I just wanted to tell my sister, like, if they could start planning a trip or not. And then, unfortunately, they found out the bad news that they were one of the first four out, which has got to be the worst. Like, to see your name up there and just miss out on the tournament, it's got to be just the worst feeling in the world. But they are going to play the NIT, so we'll see. The NIT is on campus now. Do they do the Final Four at the Garden anymore? Or is it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So they will go to the Garden if they make it.
Yeah, you start with each of your corners play into the semifinals, and then that'll be in the NIT.
I know, Chip, you probably haven't seen it because North Carolina cowardly backed out before they even got the invite. They had that press release ready to go. But did you guys see the one first-round matchup of the NIT?
Who is it?
Vanderbilt is hosting Yale in the battle for Barton Simmons. Who's Barton going to root for?
Vandy.
Is the alma mater or his paycheck? Where's the loyalty?
Well, there's going to be some big chips on the shoulder of those Vanderbilt players from all those rejection letters from Yale. They're going to be hot. That is a big chip on the shoulder right there.
Speaking of North Carolina and opting out of the NIT at the end of a disappointing season, they, as it has been mentioned often, the very first team since the field expanded in 1985 to start preseason number one in the AP poll and then not make the NCAA tournament. Inconsistencies all throughout the season, very much well documented. And of course, our friends at the Ion College Basketball Podcast have been talking about it all year long. But it got at least the conversation going. And I will say, shout out to Reddit CFB. This was a thread that was going and it piqued my interest as well. So wanted to bring it to my friends here as well as the live audience, because we're about to see an expanded college football playoff, 1 to 12 teams. And maybe even after 2 years, it could grow beyond that. And so we've talked about players opting out. Is a player going to opt out of a playoff game? Do you think that we will see a North Carolina-esque situation in the expanded college football playoff era? And this is what I'm dictating to define it as being like North Carolina. You start with sky-high expectations, you don't meet them, and then you decide to opt out of a lesser bowl game, a lesser postseason opportunity, because you are in the wake of not making the playoff. Do you think we'll see something like that?
No, not in football. I think you'll see players opt out if they miss and they go to a lower bowl game, because we already see that. I don't think a football coach is going to opt out. They want the 2 weeks of practice. They want all that stuff to get ready for the next season. It's just you get the limited practice times. They are going to want to keep those. They are not going to back out of the bowl game and also give their reserves a chance to play.
I could see it happening. Haven't we been close? I mean, Bud's always dialed in on some of these rumors that unfold. COVID, we definitely saw teams shut it down because of the COVID outbreak. But even this past year, I thought I remembered hearing about a team or two that they had so many who was it? Was it
So transfer portals, opt-outs, and injuries can leave a roster entirely decimated.
Yeah. So like if you have only, four offensive linemen, maybe five, let's say you can only have a starting five for your offensive line, and whether they want to or not, there's going to be a school that says, you know what? We don't really want to play in this game when our roster's decimated, so we don't have enough to fill it. So thanks, but no thanks.
I don't think we would get the press release like Hubert Davis being like, oh, thanks, we're going to shut it down. It's going to be more shielded than that. I think, let me get reckless. Speaking of libel and slander, I think Texas A&M opted out of the Gator Bowl in the 2021 season. I think that they had injuries, they had transfers, and I think maybe there was a COVID outbreak or rumors of a COVID outbreak that said they didn't have the numbers. But Texas A&M started that season coming off the top five finish. They were like, okay, this is the year. And then they turned in a mostly wet sandwich, 8-4 with a 4-4 record in SEC play. So it was like Texas A&M then come out with the press release that said like, oh man, we're really disappointed, we're going to shut it down. But Jimbo Fisher was like, nah, we're on to recruiting. Like, we're just going to go ahead and like keep this thing moving and get these other guys out of here. I would not be surprised if we see, again, I don't think it will be as explicit as it was with North Carolina, but we are going to see teams that start the season in the top five, top 10 of the poll with playoff aspirations go 7-5. And because of transfers and because of injuries, then you can slowly start to piece together. They're going to be like, we don't really feel like going to Jacksonville. We're just going to go ahead and flush this season and move on to what happened next.
But I think financially, though, like, this wouldn't have been a problem for North Carolina, but for some schools, aren't like the NIT and the CBI like cost prohibitive? Like it actually costs them money to partake in these tournaments?
Paid programming.
Yeah. So, I mean, it would probably depend on the bowl game that you get invited to and how much money you're going to get for showing up. So I think that would probably factor in. But I do think if it happens, it's going to be more player driven based on injuries, transfers, and illness.
So here's the only thing I would push back. I would say the money with the new TV deals is not going to be as significant because the most of the money is going to come in from the new TV deal, right? This, you know, billions of money, this influx of cash. The other thing, too, if you look at the – and I think it'll probably be exactly like North Carolina or Texas A&M. It'll be a team that had massive expectations, that is used to playing in top-tier games. And what happens if you are playing an American team – in that bowl game, and we've seen that happen before, and you lose that game, it costs you your job. So I think the coaches might be more inclined to say, you know what? I don't want to put my job on the line. It looks a lot better if I can say we're going out. We don't have enough players to field a roster. We'll just go ahead and start focusing towards next year, as opposed to all of a sudden you lose to a team, even if your roster is decimated. Fans don't care about that. They don't care who's out. They just want to see you go out there and play, and if you lose, then they're clamoring for your job. That's where I think the coaches might be more inclined to get out.
But I was told that playoff expansion would lead to more meaningful games, not teams opting out of playing games entirely because they've lost all meaning.
Yeah, but in the bowl, no one's going to opt out of a playoff game. That's why we need more playoff games.
Players then we'll have will opt, teams won't. Out. Schools will not opt out of playoff games. I'm telling you, players will opt out of playoff games.
I saw some Florida Gator.
You already might have seen one.
I saw some Florida Gator offensive linemen opting out of a bowl game against Oregon State. Yes. They were out there with their helmets and pads on, but they were opting out. Like, that was the one that came to mind where I was like, man, I wonder if Billy Napier wishes he had opted out. Like, I wonder if Billy Napier was like, would have been nice to have just like a few more like transfers along the way so that we didn't have to go out there and kick a sad field goal to keep our shutout record going in this early Saturday, mid-December bowl game in front of everybody. Because to your point, there's no way that, you know, an SEC fan walks out of that, or even a Florida fan walks out of that with anything other than a lesser thought of the Florida Gators and sort of the direction of the program. And that's all perception. That's like not based in facts or reality, but the perception of you kicking that sad field goal down 30 points to Oregon State, it ain't good. Like you would have rather sat that one at home and just been like, oh no, sorry, we're just gonna, you know, finish with our 6-6 record instead of taking that L right there at the end of the season.
You know, Billy Napier could go and win like SEC titles and national title at Florida, and I will always remember him for being the coach who kicked the field goal in a 30-3 loss in a bowl game to keep that streak going.
Yeah. Without a doubt, we're going to have jokes about that for a long, long time. Coming up on the other side, we're going to invite you into the bracket process. What is our process here on the Cover 3 podcast? We forget about the basketball teams entirely. What if the NCAA tournament was being played by each school's football program? We're going to fill out a bracket with you live on the air
next.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Back here on the Cover 3 podcast, it's bracket time, and you can see if you're watching at youtube.com/cover3, we've got a QR code on the screen. Go ahead and hit that QR code if you want to jump right into our bracket challenge. If you're listening to this at home, cbssports.com/cover3 can do the same. It is bracket time, and the Eye on College Basketball podcast is your destination for top-notch March Madness coverage over the next 3 weeks. Join Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander as they offer 4 region-by-region previews, plus a mega bracket blowout with all the advice that you need to win that office pool. Download and follow the Eye on College Basketball podcast wherever podcasts are found. I'll be joining them a little bit later today to preview the West and the Midwest. So keep your eye out for that. The Eye on College Basketball
West podcast is the bracket of death.
I know. I think the West is the 3 of the top 6 teams in the title odds are all in the West region. So if you were to do a prop bet of which region is more likely to produce a national champion, that that Gonzaga, UCLA, and the Kansas UCLA Gonzaga trio is about as good of a 1-2-3 as you've got in the whole field.
But and Illinois, don't forget Illinois, Chip.
The Brett Bielema Bowl.
Yeah.
That narrative. All right, let's call up the bracket right
now.
Told,
I've been told all year Illinois is good. The team you got to watch, they're dangerous. They might go on a run. That's what I've been told all year.
All right. We've got the bracket. Let's start up in the upper left-hand corner. That is the South region. Alabama getting an FCS challenge from Texas Corpus Christi or Southeast Missouri State. No, let's advance Alabama.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Alabama's got some opt-outs. No. Okay.
All right. But so this, here we go with an interesting one. Maryland, West Virginia. Who wins that game on the football field?
Are we going to go like based on this season or just overall program strength? Because if we're going on this season, I think Maryland wins this game pretty easy.
Me too. I think it's Maryland.
I think
that's based on recent history.
Yeah.
I think we got to go this season slash like whatever sort of quality we consider from what we just saw, or maybe like what we think is happening in the upcoming season, not just like an overall.
I feel much better about the Terps right now than I do the Mountaineers.
Same.
All right, let's advance Maryland. Boom.
I'm sorry. I can't remember who did it, but somebody did the tweet yesterday about doing the 8-9 matchups as bowl games. And this was the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Or no, actually, I think this was the Pinstripe Bowl. And then, we'll get to it. It'll go on as we go.
Well, yeah, all these 8-9 and 7-10 are filled with power conference teams. And because that's like where the at-large bubble teams are, end up landing. So you're going to get a lot of these. The mid-majors really come in at the 12 line. Speaking of, 5-12 matchup. Ooh, you might be excited about Pat Kelsey's Charleston Cougars. Maybe a little upset over San Diego State. But boy, you're coming into Brady Hoke's house. Ain't no way, Charleston, and whatever Vineyard Vines tie it on, you know, little King Street action that you got right there. You got nothing for these Aztecs. I don't even need a debate. Advance San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
That Pac-12 powerhouse.
Yeah. Now, Furman could be dicey.
I'm saying this is from what we've seen out of Virginia this past year. Do you guys, Furman only lost 35-12 at Clemson this past year.
Uh-huh.
I think it's no Furman. City.
Paladins moving on.
Paladins, they play a lot of ball control. You know, they sit there. They play good sound defense. Let's go Furman with the upset. Creighton against NC State.
NC State.
Wolfpack. Yeah.
Baylor against UC Santa Barbara.
Easy. Baylor.
Yep.
Yeah.
Missouri, ooh. Utah State.
That's a good game. But Missouri's probably what, like a 6.5-point favorite?
Probably more. Close to that.
Well, you think it'd be 6.5?
I think
Utah State was so mercurial this past year.
They were very up and down. I'm going to go Mizzou. I think that's the most likely outcome, but I don't think it's
I don't think it's
a sure thing.
Okay. We'll go Mizzou.
All right, Missouri. And then Arizona against Princeton.
On the uptick. Arizona's on the uptick, or else we might consider it.
You're talking about the Princeton Tigers, where college football got its start.
Oh, well, that's true, because Rutgers didn't make the tournament, so now Princeton in this bracket gets to claim that.
All right, let's keep doing these first rounds. We'll scroll down to the East. Ryan Walters, new head coach of Purdue, gets Texas Southern or Fairleigh Dickinson.
Purdue. No, I'm looking at the next one. Memphis, yeah, FAU.
This was interesting. This was the Bahamas Bowl.
This is a very good Bahamas Bowl matchup. Memphis FAU, yeah, which also next year, an American Athletic Conference matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta go, yeah. Memphis. Yeah. I like Tom Herman. He's got him on the. I got to see it for a year before you go with that upset.
Especially too, because in the new look AAC, there's a very good chance Memphis could win that league this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. We got Mike Elko and Duke taking on Mr. Oral Roberts. Duke advances.
Mousy Bob.
Tennessee against Louisiana.
If this was 2 years ago, I'd be all over it. Right? I mean, if it was with 2 years Napier ago, you'd pick the upset, go with the raging Emory Hunts.
But if we pick Louisiana, Jordan will cut the feed.
Yes, he would.
Yeah.
Josh, the next round's going to be interesting, though. Let's go to Tennessee.
Josh Heupel and the Vols move on. Then we got Kentucky against Providence. Let's go ahead and throw Kentucky out there. And then Kansas State against Montana State.
Montana State's pretty decent, man. Mm-hmm. But Kansas State's going to win this game.
I feel like Chris Kleiman, too, has the book on Montana State from his North Dakota State days. He's got everything figured out. Michigan State against USC.
USC.
Trojans.
And then,
but that is the rivalry game that I want. So I'm very happy that the NCAA tournament put that together.
Do these two have football programs? Marquette and Vermont?
I think Vermont does. I don't know that Marquette does.
I know. Some of these I did not know if they actually had football programs.
No. Marquette, the Golden Avalanche football.
It's club football, right?
That's club.
Yeah, I think we got to go Vermont.
Vermont, yeah. They've got a football team.
There we go.
The existence,
first round bye.
The existence of a football program propels the 15 seed Catamounts into the second round. A really, really big, big moment on a big stage for, where's the head coach's name?
I don't know. Whatever the good news here is that it doesn't really matter because neither of these teams would win in the next round.
Right, again, going up against USC. Yeah. All right, do you want to do the other side, or do you want to just keep playing it in? Let's do more first-round matchups.
Yeah, okay.
Up to the upper right side, Dana Holgorsen in Houston going up against Northern Kentucky. We advance Houston. And Iowa-Auburn.
Iowa.
The coconut shrimp.
Mm-hmm. This is the Outback Bowl. Yep.
This is the Outback Bowl. Yeah, Auburn is the blooming onion. Iowa's the coconut shrimp. Will the Hawkeyes score 25 points? Can Hugh Freeze move the ball against this Iowa defense?
But will they?
I was going to say, what's the total based on last year's
37?
Yeah.
That's the thing. If you're going off last year's team, I don't think this Auburn beats Iowa. Just don't. I don't know that they would score any points.
16-9.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Iowa wins. Mm-hmm. All right. Miami over Drake, the first university ever named after a hip hop star. Indiana, Kent State. Hello.
Indiana. Kent State was not good this year.
You sure?
I have to go Indiana in this one. Kent State did not do well in its games against Power 5 competition this year. I know they hung with Georgia, but they didn't do well overall.
Sure. Okay. Iowa State on one side, the team, and whatever happens in this game, if Iowa State loses, we know it will be by 7 points or less. And then Mississippi State and Pitt in the play-in game. Choose your flavor there. Who do we think?
Iowa State loses to both of them.
Yeah.
Let's do the Mississippi State Pitt.
Yeah.
Kennesaw State over Xavier.
Yes.
Kennesaw State making the move to Conference USA, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving on up, and the Owls
ooh,
getting it done. All right, Texas A&M against Penn State. Let's go.
Penn State.
If you
look at who Penn State lost to this year, they beat the hell out of everybody that was in Ohio State and Michigan.
And then Texas over Colgate. All right, down to the bottom right corner, the West region that we mentioned earlier. Kansas, Lance Leipold gets the job done with the MEAC champs Howard in town. I think we can advance the Jayhawks. And now we get to the Brett Bielema Bowl. It's Arkansas on one side. It's Illinois on the other. We've got a lot to digest here. Who ends up emerging?
Looking forward in this region, this is the most important first-round game in the West because I sincerely feel the winner of this game gets to the Elite Eight. And I'm picking Illinois this year. I thought Illinois was better than Arkansas this year, and I think most power ratings would agree, but I'll let you guys vote your own.
I would agree with that. I wouldn't push back on that.
Illinois is in a healthier spot from a personnel perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go Illinois.
Another low total.
St. Mary's VCU.
Do they have football programs?
VCU should.
I'm pretty sure VCU does, but I don't know that St. Mary's does. So I would go VCU. Does the chat know? Chat, do either of these programs have football teams?
VCU is club.
That could be the Cinderella story. The club team that goes against the big boys.
Alfonso Bell leading the Rams.
Gavin saying it does.
St. Mary's does.
Oh, they do.
St. Mary's.
Yeah, St. Mary's moves on.
Job, all right,
Gavin.
Thanks. UConn.
Ooh.
I mean, UConn's going to throttle Iona. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Jim Moore Jr.? Sure. Yes. We saw UConn make a bowl game. Come on. UConn's definitely got that.
The thing about the West is it is like the group of death when it comes to the basketball side. But when you flip it to football, there's a lot of room for growth in this bracket.
Has TCU recovered from the beatdown?
So Arizona State, you know, totally rebuilding. Nevada, 1 year ahead of it, but still just like low teams. Even with the exodus of talent and even with whatever kind of hangover there may be, TCU beats both Arizona State and Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
All right, TCU on. Grand Canyon against Gonzaga. It's got to be Grand Canyon.
They have football, right?
Let's see.
Again, the good news is I don't think it matters in the second round.
Because we end up knocking them out no matter what. Grand Canyon does not have a football team.
Nope.
The Grand Canyon president said in February of 2022 that adding a football team would take away from other programs.
So does Gonzaga have a football? Yeah, Gonzaga has a football team.
All right. Gonzaga.
Not a varsity team.
Couldn't they be playing in the Pac-12? Hadn't that been another rumor?
Well, it's Gonzaga to the Big 12 for basketball only.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The real like laugher that I've sort of played out is that we look up and it's like Houston is playing against Texas. Kansas is playing against Gonzaga and Brett Yormark. Arizona's, you know, somehow like in the Elite Eight or Final Four. And Brett Yormark's like, riding Arizona, riding Gonzaga. And the Big 12 is about to be the biggest basketball conference around because you got Houston coming in as well. I mean, there's a chance for some splash here if they want to make some realignment noise on the first weekend in April.
Gonzaga last fielded a varsity football team in 1941. So as long as one person on that team is still alive, which not guaranteed. We got to put Gonzaga.
All right, Gonzaga in. Northwestern, Boise State.
Ooh. Boise. This year, Boise.
Yeah.
Yeah, Northwestern didn't have any wins on American soil.
No, and that's where the game is being played.
Yeah, got to think about that. Boise, and then UCLA against UNC Asheville. Chip Kelly and the Bruins advance.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Coming up on the other side, the conclusion of our NCAA tournament bracket, but college football next.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has three episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
All right, we move into the second round. Let's head up to the South region, the upper left-hand of the bracket. And again, if you want to compete against this bracket, this will be a bracket in the Cover 3 Challenge, cbssports.com/cover3. You are seeing it filled out right now, the NCAA tournament. If it was college football, Alabama taking on Maryland, Mike Locksley against the team where he was an offensive coordinator for Nick Saban. Can the Terps shock the world?
It'll be a fun matchup leading into it, just to hear the stories, you know, and also how
Jalen Hurts.
Mike Locksley was not happy that he took, he steered Jalen Hurts to Oklahoma as opposed to Maryland. So there could be a little trash talk before, but yeah, it's Bama.
Yeah.
Talia.
30.
Talia Tagovailoa gets out there and Nick Saban's just licking his chops. He's like, let's go. All right, San Diego State against Furman. San Diego State, feel comfortable. We don't need to sneak.
They're not sneaking up on anybody after that win against Virginia.
Though I will say 29 might be the total in San Diego State Furman.
Yes.
So we might see something in the low 30s. All right, then NC State against Baylor.
Ooh. Gotta go.
This Wolfpack. Is tough.
Gotta go Wolfpack based on this past season.
That's is it Devin Leary, Tim Beck, NC State, or is it Robert and I, Brennan Armstrong, NC State?
I think NC State was the better team than Baylor this year.
I do too. And I know Baylor had the better season last year than what NC State's probably had recently. But I just think the consistency from year to year under Dave Doran should probably win out here.
Track record, program strength. I agree. Let's advance.
I wouldn't mind seeing this game in an actual bowl game though. This would be a good bowl game.
Yeah. NC State Baylor in the Holiday Bowl. Mm-hmm, that's Pac-12 ACC matchup. That would be good for here. All right. What about Missouri against Arizona? Can the Fightin' Jed Fishes knock off the SEC? No.
Arizona ain't ready yet. I would move Mizzou on here.
Missouri advances. All right, let's go ahead and play out this part. Alabama, San Diego State.
Bama.
Bama.
And then NC State, Missouri.
I would go NC State. Wow,
hovering over Mizzou?
I know. Look at Jordan with his SEC bias on the graphic. My God. He was just ready to click Mizzou yeah, Tigers, SEC, baby.
The Eli Drinkwitz Bowl.
That would be a good one, too.
Yeah, Eli faces his old team.
I'm going Wolfpack.
I'm going Wolfpack.
Wolfpack. And then Alabama, NC State.
Bama.
Bama. This is when it all comes crumbling down. All right, let's head down to the East region. These football games played in Madison Square Garden, MetLife Stadium, somewhere around there. We got Purdue against Memphis. Feisty, but I'm going to need to hear an argument why the Boilermakers don't figure out a way to advance, whether it's last year's team that made the Big Ten title or this year's team in year one under Ryan Walters with Hudson Card at quarterback. I think it's Purdue.
It's a war, but I think Purdue wins 52 out of 100 times.
Agree?
Yeah.
All right, Duke, Tennessee.
Boy. I really want to troll Jordan here. I really, really want to troll Jordan, but Tennessee's beating Duke. Come on.
Yeah, Tennessee.
Did Jordan already have it clicked before we decided?
Yeah, he might have.
Okay. That was ridiculous. All right, Kentucky against Kansas State.
Kansas State,
the reigning Big 12 champs, knock off the Wildcats. And then USC gets the win over Vermont.
Barely. It's a Sugar Bowl situation. Vermont had the ball in the red zone, end of the game, but couldn't convert.
Purdue and Tennessee.
We saw this in the Music City Bowl.
I was going to say, this has been a recent bowl game.
But I would go Tennessee.
Tennessee advances, and then Kansas State against USC.
Trojans.
Really?
I mean, they got Caleb Williams, man. Like, I understand.
They had him in their bowl game, too, though.
Yeah, I know. But I think that
you
if
go
you
go nine times, you know, you go 10 out. If they play 10 times, they're winning 7.
Yeah, that's like, I don't think it's a blowout. I think Kansas State could beat them. I just think USC wins more often than not.
Well, the problem is that both these teams lost to Tulane.
That's true.
Tulane beat Kansas State 17-10 and beat USC 46-45. Beat one of them in a grinder, beat one of them in a shootout.
So they're just sitting in midfield crying on each other's shoulders.
Mm.
Chip, you're the deciding vote.
I'm going to advance USC.
All right.
They had a closer loss to the great mighty Tulane than I'm sad Tulane's not out here, but Tulane over has been smashing the last several weeks. Much love to Coach Hunter and the Green Wave basketball program. All right, Tennessee against USC.
Total about 85.
Yeah, this will be a fun game.
Hanger.
This will be basketball on grass. Or turf. Or ice if they're playing it in Glendale.
You got to go USC.
Yeah, traditionally, I think USC gets the edge here.
I mean, especially if we're going to do a tiebreaker of what the team is going to be like this season, Caleb Williams versus Joe Milton, I think we got to go USC.
Yeah, and even if we did this past year, I do think this is kind of like a 51-49 situation, coin flip wise.
No D. All right, let's go up to the upper right to the Midwest.
Jordan's just going to stop working now. He's going to leave.
We got Houston against Iowa.
Ooh.
You know where I'm going with this one.
Iowa ugly?
Iowa, yeah. It's just Houston, they get into these games. These are the games Houston doesn't win.
All right, what about Miami against Indiana? Two teams that did not play in a bowl game.
I know.
In the 2022 season.
Like, you look at it and it's completely obvious it's Miami upon first glance. And then you remember Miami lost to Middle Tennessee. And it's like, well, I probably shouldn't be that confident, but I'm still going to take Miami.
It's still Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not as confident as it should be.
I was looking, you know, Miami started in the top 20 of the AP poll this past fall and got up to number 13. Boy, we were wrong about that one. Yeah. All right, so we've got our Mississippi State Pitt and Kennesaw State. I think we advance our Mississippi State.
They might make a pretty deep run here.
Yeah.
And then Penn State against Texas.
Ooh.
I think Penn State was a better football team than Texas this year.
Is this Arch Manning Texas or Quinn Ewers Texas, though?
Even if it's Arch, it's Drew. Then if it's Arch, then it's Drew Allar.
Yeah. I think Penn State.
I think you got to go Penn State too. What? Texas probably favored, but I'm going Penn State.
Yes. See, that's there you go. If Texas is favored, we have to go Penn State.
Iowa, Miami, Kirk Ferentz against Mario Cristobal. This one gets the True TV kickoff.
This is at 11:45 p.m. Eastern on True TV, so nobody has to watch it. Oh, I don't know.
Iowa.
Yeah. Iowa's far and away the more consistent, reliable program, but yeah.
I mean, on a big stage, I just can't trust Miami to not, you know, come up with the mistakes that could end up costing you an opportunity to advance in the tournament.
I mean, that's a great point. Miami problems with turnovers against Iowa. Come on. You're right. 100%.
And then Penn State again. Ooh, if it's Pitt, nice little rivalry.
Yeah.
Penn State.
Yeah. It's both of them. Yeah. Oh, we got an all Big Ten Elite Eight matchup.
And then who wins Penn State, Iowa?
Penn State.
All right. And then down to the West region. We begin with the second round matchup between Kansas and Illinois. ILL.
Yeah.
Believe in Kansas, but not in this game.
Illinois. And then UConn.
Illinois's got a nice path.
This is what I was saying about the West in football. That's why I said the Illinois-Arkansas game was huge.
Yeah.
UConn over St. Mary's.
Yep.
Jim Moore Jr. in the Haunted House. TCU over Gonzaga. Yeah, you're right. Correct. This region is very easy. All right, UCLA Boise State's a good game.
Gotta go UCLA.
Illinois over UConn.
Mm-hmm.
TCU UCLA.
TCU made the freaking title game.
Yeah, gotta say, gotta TCU. Go TCU.
Mm-hmm.
And then does TCU over Illinois? Yeah, TCU over Illinois.
I mean, no, Illinois by 50.
Okay, all right.
So TCU. I'm voting Illinois. I'll let you guys vote TCU, but I'm officially on the record as voting for Illinois.
Okay, so that means our Final Four has Alabama and USC in one semifinal and TCU against Penn State in the other. That's a tremendous Final Four. I love that this has given us. All right, what would be your expectations, let's say, first for Penn State TCU?
Well, first of all, shout out to the Big Ten for once again getting two teams in the playoff. It's hard.
This is tough because this is where do you play? Like, who's playing? Is Max Duggan still there? Is Quentin Johnston still there? Is this next year? Because as good as a season as TCU had, it does feel like they kind of captured lightning in the bottle. It was perfect. Bunch of tight wins. Penn State gets over that hump. Man.
Penn State had no bad losses.
No.
All season. But
Penn State also lost to the Michigan team that TCU beat. So I think if we're doing it's just
but do we know that TCU just do we know TCU just got housed and we want to see a better matchup in the championship game? That advantage?
I think if you're just doing this power ranking style, Penn State's the pick, but based on actual results, I think TCU's the pick.
I go Penn State
too, because the Michigan game that we gave them, they did win the game, but my goodness.
Micah Shrewsbury putting off the Georgetown job for at least another 3 weeks.
And then Alabama against USC. This one definitely gets the second tip. Penn State TCU as the early game, the undercard.
Yeah. Click it, Jordan. Click it. Do it.
No.
Caleb Williams, no Bryce Young anymore. He's gone. He's not there to bail you out anymore.
Alabama. By 20.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Alabama would look at that USC defense and be like, we're going to run the ball 40 times. You guys are going to miss so many tackles. Alabama, Penn State.
Alabama. I mean,
Alabama.
It's got to be.
Danny?
I don't think they would have beaten USC, but I'm just forgetting them there. You guys are living on the dynasty. You're living on the coattails of the past. You're going to get up with the current.
Well, no, we're going to live up, Jr., the current no USC Young. Lost to Tulane. Current USC didn't even win the year. Pack. They didn't even win the Pac-12.
We're looking forward. That defense is going to be addressed.
Tommy Rees, Ty Simpson, Alabama.
Alabama. Wow.
National champs. Oh yeah, and by the way, Jordan, for your total score, let's like get it as 62.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever the total would be for this game.
62. Yeah, there we go. Submitted. The thing is, Alabama winning would mean that this has a decent chance of finishing pretty high in the bracket. So our cover three bracket, which has now been submitted, might win us a chance at a new car. And you are seeing right now on youtube.com/cover3 how easy the process can be, how great it is to be able to go through and fill out your bracket. And yes, just entering our game or any bracket challenge game will give you the opportunity to win all sorts of prizes to get right into the Cover 3 Bracket Challenge. Go to cbssports.com/cover3. All right. Any other football tournament or otherwise, thought a QR code on the screen as well. Anything stand out?
Illinois is going to the Elite Eight. The weirdest thing about this exercise for me this time was it's the first time I can remember in which I had more confidence in Illinois football to make a tournament run than I do in Illinois basketball.
Mm. Yeah, my analysis of Arkansas Illinois is that it's a great ceilings and floors game because the distance between the ceiling and the floor for both of those basketball teams,
they're kind of the same team,
is a gulf. You know, it's like the tiebreaker for me is that Arkansas has a Nick Smith. And while Terrence Shannon is like very, very good, Nick Smith's like a top five pick in the NBA draft. And so I think I slotted Arkansas ahead, but either one of those teams is going to lose to Kansas in the second round.
The two teams that jumped out to me that are massive, like you got to show me one more year, Tennessee and TCU.
For football?
Yeah, for football. Yeah, when we're breaking this down, I think that was the hardest thing to say. All right, are we going to get another year of what we saw out of TCU? Are we going to get another year out of Tennessee? Because if we did, I think we would have them both advancing further. I think all of us were like, got to see it again.
I will say, if I was asked to pick one to have the better year right now, I'd probably lean more towards Tennessee than TCU being able to sustain it. Not just the getting to the title game part. I just mean having a very good season overall.
Is that because of the offense? Like, what's the calculus there?
I just think TCU is losing a whole lot, and they kind of had the benefit of Texas failing to live up expectations, Oklahoma having a down year in the first year of coaching turnover. I think they just took advantage of the Big 12 because we saw, and we talked about it during the regular season, they were playing a whole bunch of close one-score games and they were winning them all. And I just feel like we're going to see some of that luck kind of go the other way.
Yeah, Tennessee didn't like surge to a great vacuum in the SEC. Alabama was still Alabama. Georgia was still Georgia. Alabama wasn't totally Alabama, but that Tennessee team like joined the party. It wasn't like no one was going to grab it and they just stumbled over themselves. They're like, all right, fine. Maybe I'll be here. They had to really fight and battle to be able to get up to the challenge. I like that a bunch. Reminder, go and fill out your brackets. The brackets lock on Thursday, so you've got a little bit of time for that. And over on the Eye on College Basketball podcast, all kinds of actual basketball talk, breaking down everything that we have referenced here today. And you can follow him on Twitter at Tom Fornelli. You can follow him at Danny Cannell. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you. Aaron Rodgers, you should retire, buddy. Do what's best for you.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.